Hello, everybody! Recruiting Animal here on December 30th, 2009. Happy New Year! Now, remember Maureen Sherub told me to cancel my show just before American Thanksgiving last month in November? She told me that Americans were too busy with the holiday to take any interest in little old me. But I took so much flack for doing that I wouldn't even dream of canceling the show today, even though it's just before New Year's Eve. So let's get to it! I want to start off by pointing something out, something that you already know. Last Friday, an idiot tried to blow up an airplane right over Ontario. That's the province in Canada where I live, where I am right now. And for those of you who didn't know it, this moron was 23 years old. You see where this is going? What does that prove that he was 23? I'm going to tell you. Young people can be stupid. That's what it proves. If you're in your 20s and you're looking for stupid people, you don't have to look outside your own age group. You know what? 2009 is going to end with one of your boys on the front page of every newspaper in the world saying, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm as stupid as you can get." But here's the thing. This guy is not a member of Gen Y. He was rich, yes. And he went to school in England, yes. But he was from a town in Nigeria where they had a big riot where people were killed in 2002 because someone made a joke about religion. And Gen Y doesn't exist in countries where they go nuts when you make a joke about religion. Gen Y is a product of educated parents in a modern country. And in fact, if you live in the United States and you didn't go to college, I'm not sure you're in Gen Y. Because, end of my thesis, Gen Y has three characteristics as far as I can see. And if you don't agree, call in the show and tell me I'm wrong. Number one, if you're in Gen Y, you use the internet. Number two, you went to an elementary school where they gave you a prize for losing. If you lost the race, they treated you like a winner, so you still think you're a somebody. And number three, you went to university or college, some kind of post-secondary school, because I've never seen anyone online write about Gen Ys who are blue-collar. Do you see it? No! Now, one last thing about this incident that I was talking about. I want to salute the bomber's father. He saw that his son was becoming a religious nut, that's what he was, and he turned him in. Unfortunately, your own father can tell the cops that you might be a member of Al-Qaeda, and they'll still let you on an airplane. Can you figure that out? I can't! Anyway, let's get down to business. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Open up the lines here. Who's here today? 111. That's a mysterious line. We're not going to talk to that person for a while. Who is it? Jerry's here. I hear Maureen. Are you here?
I'm here.
Maureen Sherub's the birthday girl today. We'll get to you in a second. Area code 817. Who are you?
Jerry Jeff Lipschultz.
Jerry Jeff Lipschultz hasn't been here for a while. We're going to ask you to rate the show a little later.
Yes, sir.
You're giving a nice guy 7. Okay, area code 512. Who are you?
Blake.
That's Texas as well.
Hey, it's Blake. It's Blake.
Blake. What's it? Blake Cannon with the gun, right?
Yeah, man. What's up?
With the gun.
Okay, right. Blake Cannon. Area code 210. Want to say hi? Area code 210. Last chance.
Hey,
area code 7. Who is it?
Alicia.
Alicia, first time caller, right?
Yeah.
Well, introduce yourself. Come on, take your chance. It's your star turn.
Sure. I'm a business coach, and I have the website Sonera PDC, and I'm on Twitter.
You want to pep it up a bit? Don't put my caller listeners to sleep, okay?
Okay. Hey.
Alicia. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a business coach out of San Antonio, Texas. I do business coaching all over the country, and I'm on Twitter as Alicia Sonera.
Yeah, you want to spell that just before we let you go?
Sure. AliciaSanera.
Now, is that you listening to radio or whatever in the background, Alicia?
No.
Don't do it. Whoever is doing it, you better stop right now. Area code 770, that's the recruiting robot, Carl Chapman, hello!
Hey, animals! Happy birthday, Maureen!
Thank you, who's this?
Okay, there you go. We're gonna take care of Maureen
Carl,
in a minute.
Carl, thank you.
Guess whose birthday it is, Maureen?
Yours, too? It
yes,
is yours,
ma'am.
Isn't it?
It is.
I remember
no
that
way.
From last year.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Double barrel.
Tiger Woods, but he doesn't count anymore.
Happy birthday.
Who's?
Tiger Woods.
Who else?
Birthday is today.
Tiger. Okay. No, Tiger counts in this park. Okay. And anybody else? Area code 111. Another 111. Want to speak up? If you're on the line and I haven't addressed you, come on. Here's your chance. Say hi.
This is Paul Paris, animal.
Paul Paris. Paul Paris, animal. Anybody else?
Paul Paris, man.
Paul Paris, yeah. The dog just wanted to go for a walk just when your show started yesterday. I don't know if he didn't like it or what. So I
there
didn't
you go.
Until the end.
Because it was on Gen Y, that's why.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so
Jeremy Worthington
so
lurking in here in the background.
At Job Search Coach.
Yes,
okay.
Is
the boy
that,
wonder.
Is that dog Gen Y or what?
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna sing happy birthday to Maureen, but first I'm gonna do a little intro. I saw a guy on Twitter the other day, and his bio, he said he was a cannon in a world of pistols. So I tried to make something up for Maureen, and I'll have anybody else can think about the same kind of thing and add after I'm finished. Maureen Sherub is a tiger in a world of pussycats, a wolf in a world of dogs, a chimp in a world of monkeys, and a cat in a world of mice. Anybody else want to give it a go?
You about covered.
No?
How about a shark
I got it
in a
covered.
World of guppies?
That's not bad.
A bear cats.
What was that?
A buckeye in a world of bear cats.
Okay. Janice Worthington, executive job coach.
No,
I don't know what a buckeye is. It's
actually,
something from Ohio.
A in a world
yeah.
of buckeyes.
I'm a bear cat, Janice.
Okay. Happy birthday to Maureen. We're going to do it right now. One. Carl, I'm sorry, Carl. I just didn't prepare anything for you, and I'm not quick enough to come up on my own.
Happy birthday, Carl.
Let me say,
Thank you.
A Rottweiler in a world of, Chihuahuas.
Chihuahua.
Is that good?
Chihuahua.
Let's go. For Carl and Maureen. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Speed it up. Happy birthday, dear Carl and Maureen.
Happy birthday to you.
The dog's barking here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, Maureen, we're going to come back to you. Now, it's the end of the year. I wanted to sing a song for the end of the year, but instead of Auld Lang Syne, Sunrise, Sunset. Does anybody know it? Janice has
yeah.
to know that.
I know it. I know it.
Okay. Anybody else is welcome.
Up.
Well,
okay.
We're only gonna do the refrain, okay? Are you ready, girls?
Yep.
You're with me?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Sunrise.
Sunset.
Sunrise.
Sunset.
Swiftly flow the years. One season following another, laden with happiness and tears. At least it's got both things. That's enough.
Sunset.
That's enough. We've lost everybody already. Okay, now, thanks, Maureen. I know it's your birthday, Maureen. Okay. Maureen, so HR Margo, there's no... Just get it. There's no hashtag at animal. If you want to comment, at animal is what I use. Okay. Now, Maureen. No, well, I can't think of a good hashtag. Animal is used in a million different places.
Animal show.
Animal show.
Kind of long. kind of long. Okay, let's just move on. Okay, I promised that I would give my good friend Neil Leibovitz, who should have been here singing because he played Tevye. Anyway, give him a plug. And he sent me an email. I'm going to repeat it to you guys, and I want you to go and click on his URL. Dear Recruiting Animal, you can attest to the internet marketing stuff I did on the Big Biller Marathon. Remember Bill Radin had that all-day, three-day free session? I listened to Neil, and he was good. Come on, who's that? Jerry Groen. Come on, nice big loud one. Okay, I listened to Neil for 45 minutes. He was good. Well, he says, well, now I have a virtual boot camp that starts on January 19th. You can take a look at it at www.tinyurl.com/virtualowners. Virtual owners. It's a live version of that plus a lot more. It's awesome for all of the recruiters and owners who need opt-in lists, who need to really use LinkedIn. Jerry, learn how to set up blogs, learn how to convert video, learn how to set up their own web pages, membership sites, etc. It's a full, looks like, social media, Web 2.0 session. He'll walk you through it. It's all interactive online. It takes 5 weeks. tinyurl.com/virtualowners. I am not being paid to say this. Neil will be back on the show in February, okay? Now, Maureen told me that I never have to plan shows anymore. I can just let people talk about their work. So I disagree with that, but does anybody have a work problem they want to talk about? You bring the topics forward.
That's the show?
No, I got a show, but Maureen said I didn't have to write the show. Maureen said I could just, you know, wait for people to talk on their own, okay?
Then maybe Maureen's got something in mind. What is it?
Well, I've got some. Maureen didn't have it, but Maureen talks. See, I'm lucky, everybody. I get to talk to Jerry and Maureen sometimes during the week, and they like to, you know, let off some steam. So Maureen actually told me some stuff, you know, where she disagrees with Jerry. Jerry told me in one talk session, phone session, that girl recruiters have an edge. He says, when a woman calls a guy at work and says, do you want to talk to me tonight? That guy says, sure, I'm going to turn off that Xbox for you. You can talk to me.
He's
but
right.
Maureen disagrees. Maureen says there's a wrinkle there. Maureen says, sure, he wants to listen to her sexy voice,
but she doesn't have him
hooked on business. Maureen says, I have to work far harder than my male counterparts. So you two go at it. Maureen, then Jerry, then Janice. Maureen, Jerry, Janice, it's in order today. Go ahead.
Okay, women have to work twice as hard. In that scenario that you just described, that guy didn't tell her he'd talk to her that night at home necessarily because he was interested in the job. He may have been interested in her voice.
Yeah, I said that already, right? Now,
okay.
Jerry,
so
come on.
So Jerry's turn?
Yeah.
So she calls, and she wants to hook him on business, but he wants to listen to her voice. So you see, it's a lot steeper climb.
Jerry,
I wholeheartedly disagree here. Women do have an edge because guys return calls to women. I have several instances in the past where one of the recruiters that I work with, Holly, I have left messages for people that, you know, I found their resume or they're in my database. They have not called me back. Several times in the last, I'd say maybe 3 or 4 years, they have returned Holly's call, and I've ended up placing those people. And, you know, it's cost me probably $23,000, the two placements that I'm thinking of in particular. It doesn't matter.
Why did it cost you $23,000?
You had to pay her.
I had to pay her half of the fee.
But you would have had Zip without her. That's the kind of thinking I'm talking about.
You've got twisted logic, Maureen.
No. He would have had Zippo fee, so it didn't cost him a dime. He was ahead of the game.
You're clearly not understanding what I'm saying.
Maureen, you're making women look bad.
They returned her call, not mine, in two specific instances. Now, whether my presentation was awful and hers was fantastic, we'll never know.
But
however,
the bottom line, Jerry, is you made more money. It didn't cost you a dime to pay her. In fact, you had more money in your pocket because of
Maureen,
the affiliation.
Maureen, you're way off base with this.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, everybody knows she's off base. Everybody knows she doesn't understand. Sorry, Maureen.
She had the edge.
Janice, why don't you come in and explain it to them?
Well,
you know
what? If it's a split.
Okay,
it's
Janice's turn. Janice Worthington, exec job coach. Come on forward.
If it's a split fee situation, then you would have realized nothing. Then that.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to explain that. Tell us what you were talking about.
That's my argument.
Hey, listen, Boy Wonder, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, this is your mom. We got another pair here. We got the mom and the son. Do you ever have more success in business? Your mother's your partner. Do you ever have more success than her because you're a guy?
I wouldn't say it's more success, but there are times where I'll have somebody call me that I think will be a better fit for her, and there are times where she'll have somebody call her and there will be a better fit with me. Every time I've had some sort of a business development role, we've discovered that sometimes you just don't gel with a certain type of person. I wouldn't put,
someone in a canary farm there or something? What are those birds?
It's always something.
I don't know. It ain't me. I can
but
say that. Much.
Okay.
I'm muted. But anyway,
okay,
bottom line is everyone's not going to be able to work, just fine, like two peas in a pod with everybody else. It's just sometimes.
You're off base, too.
It's like more to be the age thing than the sex thing. But I will say this, since that's what we're talking about. Women in business have to either be little sweetie pies in which they do not get taken seriously.
Proof. We know that story. Do you have any proof?
Let her finish and state her business.
Or they have to be gonad busters, and then they do business, but then they're labeled as less than ladies.
We heard this a million times. I was looking for some proof.
You
don't want to hear it, animal.
Okay.
Men usually don't want to hear this.
I'll give you the proof. The minute someone says, "Darling, let me call you back." I've got it. I'm not taken seriously, okay? And I'm not a...
Darling.
Yeah. Or sweetie, or... and that still goes on, okay?
You know what? You know what, Janice? Your son just contradicted you. I mean, he said that's not the case. He said some people are better suited to you. Some are better suited to him. Wait a second. The kids, out of the mouths of babes, your son exposed your argument, okay?
I'm coming from the type of business that we do, not recruiting. You guys are coming from a whole different angle.
No, I wanted your business. Who's got those fucks? Sorry, F-bomb.
Oh.
I just F-bombed it. I'm going to start cutting people off. Who's got those birds? Sorry.
That?
Carl, that's not you, is it?
Hell no.
Okay, I'm not going to cut you. Area code 210, who are you?
It's Alicia.
I'm going to cut you off for a second, Alicia. I'm going to put you on mute. Is that Jerry Jeff? Nope.
I have you muted.
It's Blake.
I got it. No, I think it was the first person who was here. Okay.
Who was it? Name him.
I don't know. It was 111s. It was a bunch of ones.
I just called back. It wasn't us.
That's a Skype number, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so where were we? Are we finished with this topic?
He seems like a closet parakeet owner.
Yeah, okay.
Back to this topic, though. If you get a list of 100 male names and you have a female call and leave a message for all those people, and a male calls and leaves a message for all those people, more will return the call to the female, regardless of the nature of further business beyond that.
Jerry, I'll bet you $100.
I don't have $100.
Who is that, Paul?
No, it's Carl.
Carl.
Go ahead, Carl. $100
with
what?
Jerry.
You want to finish it off? You guys are dragging this out. You're dragging it out.
Message. It doesn't depend on the sex of the person leaving it.
Well, okay. Think what you want. I've seen it happen.
I'll put up or shut up.
Female
$100.
Seriously,
pick any girl, woman / whoever you want to call in, okay, to call that 100 numbers, and have her call, and then I'll call.
I'm only speaking from experience,
back.
Carl. I'm only saying this is my particular experience. Now, it might not be the same in the restaurant business.
I'm not talking about restaurants. I'm talking about you pick any numbers you want. Pick any numbers you want.
Well, now we're getting into the mechanics of the message that you would leave.
That's exactly right.
Of course.
You know, I'm not disagreeing.
That's what it depends on. It doesn't depend on.
No, the same message. the same message, verbatim. So you're removing content of the message as a influencing factor into the data.
Well,
sorry, man.
You know what? I'm going to say that's a great test. If anybody wants to do it, like I'm willing to have that a show built around that contest. We'll set up a contest with, let's say, 50 names. Doesn't have to be 100. We'll have a man do one. We'll have a woman do the other. We'll see who gets the most results. If we got some contestants, talk to me about it.
I'd be happy to do it, but I think that it depends more on the content. So what you ought to do is have two tests. Do one test the way Jerry suggests with the content of the message already put together, and then do another where you have a male and a female who have a certain goal, and let them do their own message.
It's possible the women and men use different content
as well.
You know,
but then that's not the data we're looking at. We're looking to see returned phone calls based on male or female. So that the message would have
to be generic. He's putting a couple of things in there, Jerry. Just let me sort it out. He's saying, like, I agree with you. Women might use different content. I mean, let's say if I write a script for a woman, it might not be the way she talks. I mean, so it might not be fair. But he's making two contests. One is with the same content, and one is with whatever the content they want.
He's really
and
twisted
so we'd be
this
able
to support
see
his own viewpoint.
Okay, anyway, I want to move on.
But wait a minute. This is an important subject. I know I have sisters out there listening.
Are the content I put together when they deliver it in a message to their candidate or hiring manager? It depends on the content, right?
Yeah, that's a different topic altogether. That's really how to create a compelling voicemail to a targeted audience.
But that's a different topic. Just because she's a woman doesn't mean she's going to be able to deliver a compelling voicemail. Right?
Agree. Oh. It's content and delivery. And you know what you guys sound
we're
like?
We're not talking about content. We're talking about do women stand a better chance of getting a returned phone call based on being the woman, not the content. Okay, we
just opened some idiot up.
You're losing listeners now.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on. But, you know, I opened up all the mics. Now there's 16 people on the line. And one of them is some jerk who's listening to all kinds of noise in the background or calling from a mall or something like that.
Gee, who could it be, Animal?
Let's try to your friend Maureen. Why don't you wish Maureen a happy birthday, okay? And then we'll get going.
I did already.
Okay, fine. Next topic, Maureen. This is her day. Carl, I didn't prepare for. This topic is throttle them or coddle them. Now, Maureen told me. Oh, Steve, you know, it's so noisy. Maureen told me. Maureen used to sell businesses. For 20 years, that was her business, selling businesses. And she tells me, can anybody hear? Steve, I'm going to cut you off. Steve, sorry. Call from a normal place. Go in the washroom or something. Boy, I'm gonna. What area code are you?
So
I want to cut you off.
No, Mike, I'm going outside. Don't worry. Michael,
okay,
come on.
Fine.
Is HR Margo on the phone?
Yeah,
I'm gonna call in. There she is. Let her say her piece.
No, I want to move on. Oh, HR Margo, go ahead.
you don't want to hear from the voices of reason. You just want to move on. Okay.
No, let her go on. Come on, go ahead. First time on the show.
Okay.
What do you want to say?
My name is HR Margo Rose, Cincinnati. I am currently seeking an HR generalist position, and what I'm calling in to do is to straighten out the loser boys who think they know better than we do. And why aren't you listening to Maureen? Why?
Go, HR Margo.
Put the dogs on her, will you?
Come on.
Okay, we're moving on.
They don't want to hear it, Margo. They never, men never want to hear this message.
Oh, Maureen, you're making a fool out of yourself.
Whatever. I know. I have sisters out there who agree with me. I'm seeing them all over Twitter.
Let me move on before I start cutting people off, okay?
You're a big crybaby.
Yeah. This is Maureen's also. This is one of Maureen's topics. Throttle them or coddle them. Maureen explains why she's a telephone sourcer instead of a recruiter. Maureen claims that you can't convince people to be rational. She said it's a matter of hard wiring. They either have a practical, pragmatic approach or they don't. Am I right, Maureen? That's what you told me. Am I right?
Yes,
and the example
you're
gave, The example you gave, you were selling businesses. You had a there was a drive-through. We don't have them here, but it was like a little supermarket that you drive to the window. Is that it?
Well, you drive through the whole building, but go ahead.
Okay,
and you buy stuff.
You buy stuff in a drive-through. I've never seen it.
You can buy beer in Ohio in a drive-through.
Right.
Okay, she said it was a great area and in Cincinnati where it was, and it was 20 years ago. They were doing, I think, $1 million in sales a year, and it had a big volume of lottery sales, and the two owners were making about $200,000
a year.
Right. So you called up a guy you knew was looking for a business, and you told him to make an offer. Am I right, Maureen?
That's correct.
And he made an offer. Oh, geez. What noise. And then somebody else, you want to take the story from here? Maureen, you want to take the story
from here? You think this is interesting. I don't especially, but somebody else made an offer, so I called the first guy. I said, you need to make your best offer right now. He didn't believe me. He thought I was trying to roll him or something. And the buyer or the seller took the other offer, and then the guy called me up and screaming at me, well, why didn't you tell me? And I said, well, I did tell you.
What's going on with the noise here? It's Steve Levy. I'm going to cut off. I'm going to mute a bunch of people till there's no noise, okay? Did someone pay him to sabotage my show?
Bill Borman, most likely. I mean, that's where I'd
Bill Borman.
Okay, Maureen, finish the story.
I did. So the guy called me up, you know, screaming at me, why didn't I tell him?
No, you told him to make a second offer. Someone made a counteroffer.
To make his best offer. He needed to make his best offer now. And he didn't believe me. He stood with the offer he had on the table, and the seller took the other offer. And, the guy called me up screaming that, you know, why didn't you tell me? I said, well, I did tell you. You needed to make your best offer.
Did he call you darling?
Oh, no. He was mad. He hung up on me. He called me. I've been called lots of things.
Anyway, he called her names, and now she says the whole thing is, he says, this guy was a born loser.
He was a born loser. He really was. He really
was
an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he had an L on his forehead, you said.
He had an L on his forehead, yes.
He was born like that. And you say that a recruiter has to coddle people. They have to work with people like that. And you just had enough of it. Am I right?
I had enough of it. That's why I don't do recruiting. I don't have the stomach for it anymore.
Jerry is somebody who likes to coddle people. Jerry, is that right? You don't mind doing that?
I coddle if I need to. Changing jobs is a huge emotional trauma for people. And if you can't you need to help these people. It's a huge thing in their life, almost as traumatic as losing a loved one. And sometimes you have to help these people through these things. That's what we get paid big bucks for. Or at least I do.
Okay, you know what? I let more people on the noises. If someone
well, you know, when people are buying businesses, it's many times because they can't find a job. So you think it's hard to find a job for somebody, right? Selling a business to somebody who can't get a job.
I don't know anything about selling business.
So you guys are finished talking about that. That's it, right? Okay, I'm going to switch the topic. I have more to say about that, I'll move on. Okay, now, you know, everybody on Twitter, and there's some new people on. I open the mics if they want to say hi. They can. There's no more fish or ambulances in the background. But
hello?
You know, I'm going to blank. Who is this? Who wants to say hi?
It's Jason.
Jason, what do you want?
Is it Maureen's birthday today?
Yeah, it's Maureen's birthday.
Maureen, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Carl Chapman's birthday, too. But we don't really care, do we?
Okay, JD, enough.
Obviously
enough,
not.
Okay? You called in late. Now, listen, here's what I want to say.
I'm going
to
want to send emails next year.
Here's what I want to say. Can I get the floor again? Okay?
Yeah.
See, Maureen, if I left it to the people, they'd be talking about the birthday. You watch when it's the Jerry's after show. That's what they'll do. They'll talk about birthdays and coffee.
Maureen, I'm going to send you a birthday card right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, very exciting.
Do you want it to be like nice or should it be offensive?
Either or.
You don't
either
care.
Or, I have thick skin.
All right.
Okay.
Use the F-bomb on it, I dare you.
Okay. Listen, okay, I'm going to cut you off. It's time for the show again. Come on. Now, I read an article, you know, on Twitter, there's always people with these quotations about how you can take your life in your hands and all that garbage, and I read an article in the New York Times that they looked at two surveys, and they said, What makes people happy is the environment they're in. Not them, it's their environment. They did a survey of 1.3 million Americans. Actually, the Center for Disease Control did it. That's a respectable place. And they asked people about their health and how satisfied they were with their lives. And then they compared it on a state-by-state quality of life basis. There's certain indicators about quality of life, like climate, taxes, cost of living, commuting times, crime rates, and schools, and they found that the people who said they were happiest, they lived in the places where the sun shines, the air is clear, housing is not too expensive, traffic isn't too bad, all the mundane, everyday things that make life a little easier. Those are the things that make your life happy. Now, I think that means something to a recruiter in terms of relocation. Anybody else got an opinion about that?
No.
That's
can you repeat that? Can you repeat that question?
Yeah. Okay. You know what, Jason? You're here. You had to relocate people on every placement you made, right? You were doing semiconductor recruiting in the Southwest, and when you recruited somebody, you also had to relocate them. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So, what did they just move from one place in the Southwest to another, or what? How did
you
get?
Well, it wasn't just the Southwest. It was all of the U.S. And you know, I was placing engineers, and for the most part, one's next job was not necessarily in their own city or in their own state, for that matter. So if they were interested in, you know, moving forward or making the right choices in terms of their career and the companies they work for, they had to pack their bags and move. And
how'd you get them to do that?
What do you mean?
How'd you get them to relocate? It's not easy to get someone to relocate.
Well, I mean, ideally, the situation is that you're talking to them about a position that they feel is going to be an enhancement over.
Are you drinking before New Year's Eve or something like that? I mean,
no, I'm just
kind of logy.
So long, you don't answer my calls anymore. So this, I'm just
yeah.
getting over the excitement of actually having you live here.
It's kind of a thrill, isn't it? Sometimes.
you make me feel like drinking, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
So no. So I mean, listen, if they're interested in their career and they're interested in better visibility and being respected in the industry and for the things that they do, you know.
I'm going to do what Jerry does, start snoring when the people are talking.
No, but it's
on the show.
I mean, if you're interested in a better opportunity and working for a company that you feel is going to be better than what you do now, sometimes you have to pack your bags. And
yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks for that insight. Okay.
The animal is convinced that nobody will ever relocate. So I'm sure his recruiting calls end up being more of a confirmation that this person wouldn't move and confirming that they wouldn't want to hear about the job. So,
does any other recruiters on the line who regularly relocate people?
I'm not a recruiter, but I'm a sourcer, and many of my customers say, no, we don't want to go to that area because it's hard to get them to relocate out of that area. So, for instance, it's harder to get somebody to move from Austin to Minnesota than it is to get somebody to move from Minnesota on to Austin.
You know, I have to agree. One of the things that I do is assist with the marketing plan for the city.
Is this Carla?
Yes, sir.
Is this Carla Porter?
Hi, everyone.
Carla.
Working for the chamber, one of the things that we do, of course, is try to attract businesses and attract people to our area. And so we use these type of statistics.
Area, Carla?
Like, Wilkes-Barre, northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that sounds like a hot spot. You know, nice sun there.
It's one of those mundane places that where people are happy. That's why I'm happy, because I live in a really mundane place.
Uh-huh.
There was just a study published, and they said people in New York are the unhappiest of all the states.
This
metro area is the 68th cheapest place to live in the entire United States. We have a low crime rate. There's a lot of good benefit, good educational system, the whole nine yards, lots of green space. People don't want to leave, and it's not that difficult to get people to relocate here. The problem is the salaries are low, but the quality of life and the cost of living is very good, and so this is why it's very difficult to get people to leave this area. And when they do leave for a higher salary somewhere like New York City, or they go somewhere where the quality of life or the stress is a lot higher, they usually return. They return within a couple of years.
I find that people will relocate in the same general geographies. like people in the Midwest like to stay in the Midwest, but somebody from Ohio, they'll move to Wisconsin, or, you know, I just relocated a guy from Michigan to South Dakota.
Michigan to South Dakota. That's not that big of a switch, though, weather-wise.
Well, yeah,
is
exactly.
It?
I mean, yes, and people like the seasons and that kind of thing. So people in Texas might move to New Mexico or Florida.
How do you get people to move to Indiana?
From?
They have to like corn.
Okay, that's where Jerry lives. Jerry likes it there.
Indiana's great.
You get to go hunting there, fishing.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else want to tell us?
By the way, if
anybody else, anybody else want to tell us how they get people to relocate? I think that's a real issue. I think that's an issue for a whole show. There's a ton of people on the line, and no one has anything to say. Isn't that curious?
Well, frankly,
it's a great
issue. Yeah, I don't think you get people to relocate. What you do is you simply find the people who are open to relocation. It's a whole different topic.
What do you mean?
If somebody doesn't want to relocate, then you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, there's probably issues why they don't want to relocate, like their parents are aging.
Who's this?
Or their children are in
school. Rayanne.
Alicia?
Rayanne.
Are they underwater on their mortgages?
Hey.
Do you think it's harder to relocate today than it was 5 years ago?
No, now you can just walk away from your house.
It might be helpful.
Yeah, really.
We'll put you in the recruiter with protection program.
And all you have to say is, you know, all you have to say is, yeah, I walked away from my house during, remember that time, during 2009. And
Jerry Jeff
yes,
is still here, right? Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry,
yeah.
Jeff.
I'm
Jeff
curious, as long as we're talking about, you know, relocation, I'm curious of your clients, how many are actually considering reloading people. A lot of our clients will just say, you know, start local first. Why pay the extra when we can find great candidates right in our own backyard?
Well,
yeah, but you can't always find.
No, you can't always. I know. I'm just curious how many start there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, everybody starts.
That's where most of my customers
there
want to start.
Everybody starts with the inner circle,
and
a moron wouldn't
to go
start
to
there.
The outer circle.
I got
to
tell you, you make me suspect your intelligence by even mentioning that. But my question for you, Jerry Jeff, is you're already in Texas. I've read a lot of articles about how the taxes are low.
Mm-hmm.
It's not suffering as much from the recession as other parts of the United States. Are you having a lot of success bringing in people into Texas?
There's a lot of people moving into Texas from Chicago, California, and Florida, yes.
Yeah,
not necessarily all from my jobs, but there's a lot of people reloading here.
From
absolutely.
Where?
And have you?
From Chicago, California?
I haven't needed to. I'm able to.
Okay, so you haven't relocated anybody recently.
No, because
okay.
We're doing it local. No.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people here, okay. For sure.
Also, anybody else?
The higher up the corporate ladder you go, the wider range. You know, people on a corporate career path, They've already been moved from one location to another in their own companies frequently. So, I mean, there are certain categories of people who are more prone to relocation than, say, librarians probably don't have to relocate that often.
Right. The higher up you go, if you're
a
hiring executive or doing executive search, you're going to have to relocate because there's less CEO material.
Yeah, okay. Well, not – yeah, but those are fewer positions. If you're talking about, like, design engineers or application engineers, you know, they're sort of middle-level guys, professionals, and I don't think they want to leave. They want – people want to stay where their families are, just like you mentioned, Rayanne. I don't think relocation is easy, so I would like to talk to someone who finds – you know, always relocates people. I know Jason Davis, the slouch, he's here, and he actually did it on almost every search, but it sounds like his candidates knew – that if they were going to take another job, they had to move to another city. And in that industry, the semiconductor industry, it was taken for granted. But that's not how
doctors
it is in every
move
industry.
All the time.
Doctors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Not in Toronto. Okay. But doctors
work for themselves.
That
surprises me.
I think the bigger the city you live in, the less need you have to relocate because there's so much of that type of opportunity you're looking for in a large metro area. I mean, Toronto, New York City. I mean... There's a lot of opportunity in those places.
Some people
yeah,
want
no
to relocate.
No opportunity for happiness, though, right, Carla? No happiness.
That's the thing. You're in the call center.
Money, money doesn't
make the
world
doing it again
program.
With the noise. There's been a party back there.
VP, director, well, director level and above, directors, VPs,
right.
All over the country to our locations.
Well, even managers
that's an industry that know that they're going to have to relocate.
Somebody started celebrating early.
I'm going to start cutting people off again.
Don't do all the ones. I don't want to call in for a fourth time.
I'm sorry. I don't know who it is. There's no name here. I mean, I just have some brains. Don't go. If it's Levy again, I'm mad, Maureen. He's yours. Okay. I'm going to move on. Listen, you know, I get those spams every day about, you know, growing your... Hello? Still there?
Hello.
Still, everybody there? Okay. Well, anyway, you'll see in a second. And I was wondering if I, you know, we could use some of those headlines, because they're catchy headlines they have, for job email blasts. I haven't done one recently, but I used to do them to a database of people every now and again. So I was trying to think of some, and feeling small, overlooked, she'll swoon when she sees your new job.
How to earn money quick, get a job.
That's a little
different.
Yeah,
you might get the wrong kind of people calling you.
I know
is
where you're from.
Is your job a dud? Is your job a dud? Is your job a dud? That's not bad.
Oh,
and here's another one. Want a man's job? Not bad.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And sexism isn't alive
as
well.
Are those the tactics that Dave Perry has used? It sounds like...
I don't know, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past him, okay? Next thing.
No, didn't he do, like, the whole porn thing? Didn't he do the Michigan porn thing?
I don't know about that. I guess I'm not up to date like you are, Rayanne, with that kind of stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. we're going back to Nick. Last week we had Neil Schaefer on. Last week we had Neil Schaefer on, and I thought a lot of people were interested in the show, you know. Except Jerry Albright, anything social media, he doesn't like it, right? And he said on Twitter after the show, he said, LinkedIn is a recruiting database. No one is recruiting me, so I don't care about my profile. In fact, he said it on the show as well.
I'll say it right now. I could care less about my LinkedIn profile.
So
it is a good one.
But don't put that in, because that means you do care about it, okay? When you say it is a good one, that means you took enough care to make
it
a good one.
He doesn't care what Neil Schaefer says about it.
I might delete it right now.
Yeah.
You will not.
Okay.
It does
my
nothing
point.
For me. There's no – there's. It just doesn't –
Is he right or wrong? I mean, it sounds like he's talking nonsense to me, but he's got a point. He's not trying to be recruited. All he needs his LinkedIn database for – his LinkedIn page for is to give him – access to a database. He doesn't want people to find him necessarily. He just wants to be able to search other people.
It's
got a bit of a point there.
It's circumstantial.
And LinkedIn isn't really social media. It really isn't. I mean, they are trying to be more like social media, but they are just a database. They're a static website. There's
so he doesn't need a good page. Is that what you're saying?
Of course, he needs a good page. He's lying.
For what? What does a recruiter need?
Stir the pot because you enjoy controversy?
I don't enjoy controversy. There's no controversy at all here.
Jerry, you need a good LinkedIn page so you have your online resume available to everybody who wants to look you up and see what you're all about.
Right.
Actually, I don't even have a resume.
Well, you know what
I
mean.
Never have.
Is that Jerry
Jeff
talking?
That's why you have
LinkedIn.
It's
your billboard, Jerry. It's your billboard.
It's Boy Wonder there? Boy Wonder, you still here?
Yes, it's me.
Boy Wonder, is that you talking now?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, okay. No, did you just talk to Jerry a second ago?
That was Jerry Jeff. I'm under the weather.
I want the Boy Wonder to come in on that. Do you have a rebuttal for Jerry?
Yeah, it's circumstantial. He may not need one just because he hasn't. There's no defined need for him. But I can tell you that on a job seeker side, they work. I had
a
candidate call me yesterday. One of my clients say, lo and behold, you know, I was discovered through LinkedIn by someone in a local organization here that wants to interview me. They've invited me on January 8th to interview. So the proof is in the pudding. She needs one. He may not.
Clients will look him up. Clients are Googling him, and they're finding his LinkedIn profile, and they're impressed. Jerry has an impressive background, impressive line of work.
Thank you, Rayanne.
He's been for years.
Do I owe you money or something?
Yes, you do. You would be a fool to take it down.
I agree.
You think
people
aren't looking at your LinkedIn profile?
We teach candidates to look up their recruiters just like the recruiters are looking up the candidates.
Exactly.
So he would be wise to keep it up.
I would rather spend my time talking to recruiters that have a job for them rather than some
okay, let's move
LinkedIn.
On. Let's
but
move it, on. We're going
to
run out of time. And I've got
to
an
talk about the end goal here, which is actually placing someone in a position.
Okay, Jerry, that's we're going
to
Jerry. We're talking about
if
something
you
that only you. You're, we got 15 minutes left. I have a topic here. Okay, there's a guy called the. He's got a blog. I can't remember his name. The Undercover Recruiter. And he had a bit of a ridiculous posting about what's the difference between a contingency recruiter and a retained recruiter. And, yeah. Somebody going crazy on the line? Okay. And he said something dumb like, he said, retained recruiters get 50% fees. I've worked on lots of retained searches.
Mm-hmm.
We never got 50%.
Nope.
He said retained recruiters have to, you know, send out 5 candidates. Our target was always 3. It was never like that. Okay, so he really didn't explain what it was. And to my surprise, though, there was a lot of comments, and it was all from IT contractors complaining about their recruiters. And they all complained about one thing. They wanted to know the markup that the recruiter was charging for them. And one guy, I'm going to read you some of the comments, and this is a business Jerry does. He places IT contractors. If anybody else here does that, I want them to step forward as well. This guy said, I deserve to know the deal. Your client knows how much he's paying, and he has expectations based on that. He says, if I don't know what he's paying for me, this easily leads to a gap between the client's expectations and the level of service I expect to provide. That sounds like nonsense to me. He says, yeah, and then there was another guy who complained that I guess this is a little different. I'll just mention this, and then we'll go to see what Jerry has to say. There's a few comments. He said that the recruiter was charging a huge markup for him but wasn't giving him that much money. And the reason they said was that the client put a cap on how much he could charge. There was a non-negotiable rate, and later on the candidate found out that wasn't true. He said if he worked for these guys, now that he knows what was being charged, he'd be in a better position to negotiate a fair deal for himself. Jerry, you want to comment on any of those things? Do you tell your candidates how much you're charging for them?
If it comes up, sure, because I'm not one of these bill $100 an hour, pay the guy $30 an hour kind of contract recruiters. So they all find out anyway. I mean,
how?
They're working on the computer systems.
Well, they can check their own salaries in the.
Oh, I'm sure they can. I just assume that they're going to find out, and I believe my markup rates are fair, and so it doesn't bother me at all. But
and Jerry, you probably pay your contractors, right? I mean, if you do a deal with them, you're probably paying them.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they're all paying. The contractors are all working for the recruiter. More, Rayanne. Come on.
I know that. I was making a point, Animal. Stick with it, okay?
But
I was making a point.
No, I didn't get your point. You weren't making a point. You thought you were making one.
People that you contract with that don't actually follow through and pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
a different issue. That's a different issue. Okay. Let me ask Janet.
But on
Janet,
that,
I want to talk to Janice now.
Yeah,
Janice, you still there?
I want to finish.
Go
my,
ahead.
My answer.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
On the topic of I need to know how much the company is paying because that then tells me how hard I should work or how good of a job I should do, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
You know, people should do the best they can all day long.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, Janice, are you still there?
Janice had the book. She's actually got work to do.
Okay,
and,
I got a question
for you.
Why don't
we talk about this? If are they getting a job on their own? I mean, are these contractors able to get a job on their own, or do they need the recruiter to get them the job?
Yeah, they're over a barrel. You're right, Moore, Rayanne. Okay, I want to go back to the boy wonder for a second. This guy, the undercover recruiter, also advised the job hunters or the candidates to ask the recruiter, are you a contingency-based recruiter or are you a retained recruiter? I don't see why. What difference does it make in the search? Do you do
yeah,
that?
A lot of difference.
Well,
okay. Well, let him answer first, and then we'll come back to you.
Well, because you want to know what you're dealing with. You want to know exactly what the opportunity is, and you want to know, you know, who's going to be the decision maker and the stakeholder in the process. And that.
Are you answering my question or somebody else's?
I'm answering yours. Well, how, that's why I asked, so I can get as much information as we can, because if you're going to have, especially if you're, this job is going to be up against another job, if you have more than one opportunity available.
Huh? What are you saying? I'm saying, does it make a difference to the job hunter if you're a you're working on a contingency basis where you only get paid if you make the placement, or if you get paid? Here's how. Maybe somebody doesn't know how a retained recruiter works.
That does not matter. That does not matter. No.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Okay, Rayanne.
Job seeker?
Okay, Rayanne. Let's see.
No,
Rayanne has to mouth
the
off.
Job
Candy,
go
ahead.
Oh my God! Shut up. I can talk lower if you'd like.
Go ahead. I want to hear you.
It makes a huge difference.
Why?
Both retained and contingency, because as a retained recruiter, you have lots of time to find the right candidate. As a contingency-based recruiter, you work your ass off. I'm sorry, your butt off, to bring in as many candidates as possible. Maybe not all are perfect. You're just trying to fill the coffers so that your client can see that you're aggressively working. As a retained recruiter, you've already been given some money. You're going to get some more. You're going to get some more. And you just have to, you have lots of more time, a lot more time, to work on that placement and bring the right person in.
But the job seeker,
does that make of the job hunter?
The job seeker just wants an offer. I mean, they just want a job.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what difference does it make? What difference does it make to the job hunter?
Because as the recruiter, you're making, as a contingency-based recruiter, you are making every candidate feel like they're the perfect candidate.
Well, yeah, right. And it'll make
a retained recruiter, you're telling, oh, I'm sorry, you're not right for the job. You're being very upfront and forthright and making sure that every candidate that you bring before that client is going to make that client happy, because if you deliver somebody that is not going to make them happy, they're not going to retain you again, and you're going to lose that relationship.
Sure.
Huge difference to the job seeker.
I see your point there, but it's very few times that I've seen that recruiters will just lay it out right out for a job seeker. I mean, they're telling them what they need to tell them to keep them in the game.
Hold on a second.
And
Jerry
exactly
Albright.
Right,
let me take control. Now, Jerry, are you still there?
Yeah.
Jerry, are you there? Carl can speak up, too. But Jerry specifically told me, when you're doing recruiting, you never tell someone he's out, just like Rayanne said. Mm-hmm. You don't say the person's out. Am I right, Jerry? Is that what you said? You don't say it's over till it's over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how that fits into this topic. I mean,
well, she's saying that if you're on a retained search where you get paid no matter what, that gives you the freedom to tell candidates that they're not good for the job. I don't know why that does, but you said you never tell people that anyway, right?
Being retained or a contingency wouldn't matter what I'm telling my candidate anyway.
Me neither.
And really, that topic, Animal, was part of another topic, which is during the interviewing process and the whole that doesn't really match right into this topic.
Sure it does. It's with her claim, her false claim.
Why wouldn't you tell a candidate that you're a retained recruiter if you are? I mean, isn't that?
Yeah, I don't mind telling them, but what difference is these stupid job search? Let's organize the conversation.
All the
let's
candidate needs to worry about is if he or she is qualified for the job.
Well, and they need to worry about if they're going to get an offer, okay? And what we tell our people is, at the end of the day, I don't care what the recruiter or the hiring manager or the secretary tells you. At the end of the day, you move on and you spend the place that you need to spend, fill your pipeline, and wait for the offer. And that's what that's how you proceed.
At the end of the day.
Do you want me to hang up?
That's right. Thank you, Rayanne.
I beat myself up with the phone.
Twice.
Okay. It doesn't make any difference at all. From the candidate point of view, Rayanne is saying that a contingency recruiter who gets paid only if they supply the candidate is competing with other – if they don't have an exclusive, they're competing with other recruiters, and they'll throw as much many resumes at the wall as necessary. Well, that might mean that you've got a shot, whereas a retained recruiter might take a lot more time and wait to find somebody better. So that's actually better for the candidate in some ways, I would say. But, you know, it doesn't really change what the candidate needs to do.
No, exactly.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly.
And not only that, Rayanne, if you throw all kinds of garbage, unsuitable people at your client, whether it's contingency-based or not, they won't want to use you again. They want to see, no matter how they're paying you, they want to see people who are relevant and good potential hires. They don't want you wasting
now,
their time.
They want to see people fast. Because
well, maybe
lot,
it just depends on
the
client. I've never experienced it. Okay, anybody else want
to
bring up a topic?
I was talking to an HR client a couple hours ago, and they said, you know, one of the worst things that recruiters do that gets them immediately disqualified from recruiting for them again is to send people in who really are not qualified for the job. They don't want to see a bunch of candidates. They'd like to see a bunch if they're all qualified. They don't want to see any unqualified candidate, whether it's retained or contingency.
Yeah, but the job coaches or a recruiter like this, undercover recruiter, they fill the minds of naive job hunters with, like, ideas that the recruiter's got some secrets going up his sleeve, and you have to show how smart you are and nose around in his business where you don't belong and say, to show, oh, are you retained? You know, what does that mean?
No,
you know, like,
no,
I know
no,
all about
no,
you.
No.
That guy's an idiot.
I don't care what he says. That we don't go. We may teach the difference between a recruiter inside and recruiter outside, and how they're retained, and yada yada yada. But again, at the end of the day, you're taught to smile.
Don't say
nod.
At the end of the day. She warned you already. Okay.
I don't give a shit. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. I'm trying to explain to you. Listen to me.
Whoa.
Family show.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
No,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
it
that.
Is. No talking
okay.
like that.
Wait,
this.
Okay.
That's a boy wonder and his mom. That's a family.
That's family.
Yeah.
My point to you is we teach these candidates to nod, okay, say yes to everything because they're going to say yes to everything on the other side. Then that's the point.
Okay. We lost Carl. I wanted to talk to Carl before the year is over. Area code 570 just called in. Want to say hi?
That's me, Carla. I had to disconnect to take the call.
Carla, thank
Carla,
you
do you have any parting words for the end of the year 2009? It better be good. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything.
Just looking forward to 2010.
Okay, that's great. Area
Kim
code 408.
Kim Kardashian is making $10,000 a tweet.
Area code 408. Area
I
code 408.
Know
area
by,
code 408.
By advertising.
Area code 408. 408, are you there? Wake up. Okay, pass on you. Area code 512, that's Texas. Is that Alicia still?
No, that's Blake.
Blake, you want to say you're going to go into Jerry's show, but do you have some parting words for 2009 for the Recruiting Animal show?
I thought Ray Ann was spot on, and Jerry's always right.
Okay, and you're a cannon in a world of pistols. I know it. Area code 760. Area code 760. Do you want to say some parting words for 2009? No. Okay.
Who?
513-760.
Oh, that's
wake
me.
Up.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
Okay, forget it. Maureen?
Recognize your area codes, people. That's a good start.
No, I
usually
Maureen.
Call from work, and I'm calling from
Maureen,
work.
Still here?
Yes,
Maureen,
I'm
still here.
Here? Yes, I'm here.
Now, you wanted to tell everybody that the fiduciary issue is going to be the big one next year. I don't know what that means. Come
I don't
back
know next
year,
but coming. Who represents
okay.
who, and who's paying who, and who has allegiance to who. That's going to become more and more important.
I don't know what you're talking about. No time for it. Now, area code 201, want to say something for the end of the year? No, he's typing. Okay, another area code 512, don't know who that is.
Type.
Oh, that's Paul Paris. Paul Paris wants to say Happy New Year, everybody. we got another area code 513. H.R. Margo, still here? H.R.
Yes.
Margo, still here? Want to
yes,
say Happy
I am.
New Year to everybody? Want to say
Hello,
Happy New Year to everybody?
I wanted to
okay.
say Happy New Year.
Okay,
Happy
great.
New Year.
You're going to stay for Jerry's show. Anybody, 817, want to say something before we go?
Hey, Animal, it's Jerry Jeff just saying we enjoyed having you on our phone lines all 2009. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, great. Now, Jeff, we're going to Jerry Albright is going to have his after-show coffee clutch. It's like the Oprah show of recruiting. So if you want to stay, actually, you can call in now, too. Jerry, make sure that everybody's politically correct because they can listen in. The lines are all open. Thank you.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, that music
hey,
gets me going.
I like it. Hey, Jerry,
no.
I got a question.
That was Shooting Star, by the way.
Isn't the new black being not politically correct?
You mean like cussing and such?
Yeah. Well, apparently cussing is goes for anybody, but You know what I mean? Like, we can just say what we want. Like, this year, this holiday season, people who wanted to say Merry Christmas were saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it felt good.
It feels good.
But on that topic,
like,
though, I enjoyed also saying Happy Holidays, not for any reason to obscure
right.
the fact
we're
that I'm a Christian
being,
celebrating
right.
Christmas. I never saw anything wrong with Happy Holidays until everybody started bitching about it.
Right, right.
Now I catch myself saying, oh, I mean Merry Christmas.
Like, I really mean
like
Merry Christmas.
I'm one of you.
I like Happy Holidays because I just like to create efficiencies and lump them all together.
Yeah.
I think it's going to depend on who your audience is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't know why.
That was my point.
Because I have a friend that's Jewish. I'm sitting there in Spain. I'm texting her. I'm not going to tell her Merry Christmas because she doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
so I'm going to tell her Happy Hanukkah, and I'm going to sing
yeah.
her the Hanukkah song.
No, I can't worry about who my audience is every time I say Merry Christmas.
But you should be sensitive to that. I mean,
I'm not.
Well,
I don't care.
Okay. Are we allowed to curse on the after show?
Do
yeah, it.
But not the F-bomb.
Not the F-bomb. Okay, cool, because I've got some lined up.
Okay, in queue.
No, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to put them all out there yet.
Mm-hmm. How's the resume business this time of year and career coaching in general?
It will slow down up until January 1st, and as we say, three things that everybody wants to do after the first is lose weight, quit smoking, and find a new job. So we
yeah.
will ramp up after the first. We get a little bit of a rest the last 2 weeks of the year, hence why I go to Spain. There's
you
not a whole
Spain
lot
now?
Of activity. No, I'm back home. I'm back in Columbus.
Where do you go over there?
Sevilla, down south, about an hour north. I call it northern Africa. It's about an hour north of Morocco.
What do you do down there? Over there.
Literally, I compare it to going to see your in-laws in another state. I lived there 3 years, back in 2001 to 2004.
I wouldn't
and,
travel that far to see my in-laws.
Well, I got to, man. The wife's there, so it's like we got a home there and everything else, you know. So I had to invest there, I had to invest here, blah, blah, blah. So when we go there, I literally sit down, crack open my laptop, plug it into my second monitor, and keep on working. It's just... It's something that I've done so often.
Is buttered on.
Sorry?
I said, you know what side your tortilla is buttered on.
Exactly. I love the family. I love the food. But it's so systematic that we do it two or three times a year that it's the romance is out of it by now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is. It's
like,
a beautiful
place. That's kind of like me in Vegas.
Oh, man, I love Vegas.
Half my family lives in Vegas. I'm here several times a year, and I don't even – see the strip anymore. So.
I bet, yeah. No, I can understand that. I've heard that people that live there don't even go to the strip.
Yeah, they actually know the stores that don't have the slot machines, so they go to those that
yeah.
don't have the slot machines.
Well, and the dynamic is interesting because Spain's got like the third largest cathedral in the world, and I've talked to people in the small town outside of Sevilla where we live. Do you ever go see the cathedral? And they're like, never been there once. I'm like, you're kidding me. You know, so it's just it's all relative, I guess.
I've got an
like,
interesting
topic.
That's
like me in the Luxor.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Kim Kardashian, who I barely even know who she is, getting $10,000 per tweet? For real?
Really? How can we verify this?
That's a good question.
Well, I've got a link right here. Hold on. I'll copy it.
I'm sure that's
it's on the internet.
Well, she's got you know what? I think it's probably if it works out for somebody, make somebody money, more power to them.
Yeah, here's
an
example. She's got a twit tick here, and it says heading to the gym. Got my Reebok Easy Tones on.
Bam.
I love these.
There
go
you
get
go.
Them at
well, Reebok
Dick's Sports Company. So
well,
she,
see, wait, first of all, do you think she's actually writing that? Do you think she's actually wearing Reebok? No.
No.
I did gym tweets for weeks and got nothing. I did these beautiful gym tweets for weeks and got nothing.
How many followers does she have?
I don't know.
How many ever they do? She does have her followers are potential buyers of Reeboks, and someone's going to
sure.
go out and buy a pair because she tweeted it, and that's why.
Is any other type of an endorsement?
This.
Okay, here I'm tweeting this right now.
She's not even the one tweeting it. That's what's pathetic. She's hired an assistant that's doing it. You know,
actually, the picture of her in the shoes looks like she's got man hands.
Okay.
Very interesting.
And I can only say this. After hearing her annoying voice, because I have teenage daughters that watch the Kardashians, and it's so much better to see a tweet from her than to hear her voice.
Huh. Yeah, I don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
I
watch The Iron Chef.
Ooh, sounds good. And then there's a picture of her video star, Kim, posing in her leotard, which she donned for a photo shoot.
Nice.
Huh. Interesting.
Those are definitely some Reeboks, but...
whose hand is that? Is that hers?
I have no idea.
I'd hate for her to punch me. Look at that thing.
Is it the whole classic Seinfeld man hands episode?
Look. That.
I have no intention of following Kim Kardashian.
No.
Sorry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey.
He's still swinging in the wind. Should I let it go on?
What?
Remember what we talked about earlier?
Oh, yeah. See what happens. See what happens. Hey, guys, let's rate the show real quick. We got to get that done. Rayanne? First, we got to go with like the actual show itself, and then the host. The show being the topic and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I joined late. Was there not a guest?
No, it was random thoughts.
Okay,
as
random
suggested
thoughts.
By Maureen.
Okay.
We talked about women.
What it felt like. Okay, that's what it felt like. I thought the show was great today. There was a lot of energy, so I'm going to give the show an 8.
Okay.
I'm going to give the host a 7 because he interrupted and didn't appreciate
my
input.
He cut you off a little bit.
Good,
Jeremy?
7.5, 8. I always think about the listener. What are they getting out of it? And I'd probably stick more with the 7.5. I really want the listener to be able to hang up the phone and go,
We can't do halves, so you got to either go 7 or 8. But first, the show itself, being the content and the...
7.
Okay, and what about the host?
The host kicked me off 3 times. He gets a 5.
Okay. Blake, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Rate the show, please.
Solid B+.
Oh, dear God.
No, it's a scale of 1 to 10.
That'd be an 85.
That'd be an
8.75. See, now he gets more attention. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
An 8. I thought it was an 8. I gave, I think I give Animal this time because he was so on the money with cutting people off and muting people, 8.5.
You can't do halves, so would that be a 9 or an 8?
A 9.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
No way.
That's pretty strong.
Oh, yeah. He didn't
who else is with us here?
Margo,
please rate the show.
Okay, the show's a 9. The host is a 7 for too many interruptions and for cutting us off.
Thank you.
However, that was the caller's fault because I think he was doing the right thing. He had to cut people off.
He was editorializing.
Up.
Yeah,
okay, Maureen.
The whole show last time.
I can't do this one because I'm. The show was my idea. So.
Well, no.
I'm going to get a buy on this one.
Okay, rate the host then, please.
Oh, I have to rate him a 10.
Oh,
I'm totally biased.
Are
you all know that.
Are you up for contract renewal or something this big?
Wait, are you getting $10,000 per tweet?
Per tweet.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Hey, who else is with us? Carl, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Carl. Not Carla.
Carla. Oh, sorry.
Chapman?
Hey, Jerry, Jeff is here.
Okay. Jerry, Jeff, Lipschultz.
Yes, sir.
Rate the show, please.
I don't know. I think everyone's being a little generous. I'd give it a 6.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, there wasn't that much to it. I mean,
we
have guests, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
some of the best shows have been guests, and when we ramble, we could save it for this show, really.
Yeah.
We get a little disorganized, and there's no train of thought. Sorry.
What would you give Animal on his execution of the show?
Well, he was being a dick today. I'm going to give him a 5.
Right. Okay,
you know, I have to say, I'm a little under the weather, everybody, so I'm just a bad
ass. It can make you a bit
in the ass today. I'm just, you know, just not a nice person today.
Are you the guy with those swear words in the queue?
Not me. No swear words for me.
That's Jeremy.
If you want me to, I can, you know.
Love.
Hey,
I love Jeff Lipschultz.
Hey, is Paul still on?
He loves you, baby.
Yeah, we need Carla's show and then the host scores, please, Carla.
Sure, I think the show overall was a 9.
Wow.
Wow. See, I gave it a 9.
Why is it a 9? Tell me.
I like
the reason I like it is because I think that there was a lot of variety to it, and I think that
you like free for alls. That's
well,
cool.
Sometimes when we pick one, so it was kind of like an unconference call. You know,
right.
When we pick one topic, sometimes it just drones on, and you know.
Oh,
okay.
We did drone on and on for about 30 minutes about one topic.
How would you evaluate animals' technical execution as the show host?
Let's rate Jerry hosting this show next.
I'm just trying to get it done, you know, business at hand.
Yeah, so I would rate Animal actually a 9 as well.
Wow.
Okay.
And that the reason for that is because I think that this show has its place, and if you're looking for something more serious without criticism and without being interrupted, you go to a different show.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Anybody else who we don't have their score?
Is Paul still in? Paul Paris is on.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, Paul.
There he
is. Yeah, I want to hear Paul.
I give the show an 8. I'll give Animal a 7. And I have to give Steve Levy a 10 that he said that Animal was like from John and Kate plus 8 today. So.
Hey, is
anybody
in New York City on the call?
Is anybody else on the line?
Jeremy.
Is anyone in New York City?
Well, we already got your score, though, right, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
is Animal
else?
On the line? What does he think?
Oh,
he ain't talking.
He's always hard on himself.
I give the show a 6. I just didn't like the wandering general approach. I think you're going to start to lose callers if they call in and it's just random helter-skelter crap.
Yeah.
I agree.
Animal's execution, I give him an 8. I think he was struggling with some people calling in on some bad lines, and, you know, that sets him off a little bit. So knowing that he was able to stay somewhat focused through all the technical difficulties, I give him an 8.
Yep.
I think he needs to spend a little more time pre-screening callers.
That's true.
I mean,
though.
Something's got to be fixed.
He's a one-man show. That's hard, man.
Yeah.
How do you do that when you're a one-man show?
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't have a buzzer, like a five-second buzzer.
Caller.
Yeah.
He's got the money,
it's
and he's
a crap
got Harry. What are you talking about? It's not a one-man show.
Yeah, but he's got the controls, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
He
insists on retaining the controls.
And
yeah.
As I said before, I think that callers and listeners have got to be able to hang up the phone and you know, click close and have learned something, have walked away with something.
Right.
No, I always rate it.
You know.
Though it's really infotainment, and so sometimes you're going to get just more entertainment than you are information.
Right.
Like the last show, the LinkedIn profile thing, that was too much information beating the same topic, and it wasn't as snappy. Wasn't this fun?
Actually, the big problem with it is that there was a lot of individualized attention instead of giving us a generalized set of rules of how to benefit the most from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right. You know, 12 people or however many people were actually individually profiles were looked at, those 12 people reaped the most benefit from the show.
It was interesting to see how many people wanted input on their profile.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and that's
there's probably people making a living just coaching people on their LinkedIn stuff.
Well, we do here. I mean, I set up profiles for people all the time. It's just that, and that was the issue,
Jeremy,
that I had with that show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is this Jeremy?
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, you do this for a living, and you were asking for yours to be looked at?
Well, I was messing around.
Oh. Okay.
Essentially,
I'm going to make a note here.
Essentially, look at mine because that's how you should look. You know, there was a lot of theory theoretical discussion about LinkedIn profiles and what there should be, and we're more nuts and bolts. You know, I think that.
So
your
are you
title,
a licensed LinkedIn professional?
Even know what that means.
I don't either. I just
all
as
I
need.
No, all I know is here's a vehicle, just like a resume. Here's the content that should be in your vehicle, and here's how you accessorize it. I mean, literally from your title, of how you know, as your name comes up on your network's radar on their landing page, if it just says Jeremy Worthington, you're losing a lot of promo opportunity. It should say Jeremy Worthington / job search coach or Bob Smith / accountant. It's that kind of stuff that I do, the actual nuts and bolts, not the theories.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Felt like I was buying a car there for a minute.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I have a gold medallion hanging down to my navel, too.
license to shill.
You have a disco ball in your car, Jeremy?
I probably should, and it's the one thing that I struggle with the most as a professional is to how to not come out sounding like that. But it's like that's my seriously that's my like if I my mea culpa of life is to get away from that. But that's my spiel, you know. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. I know.
Paul, how's Recruiter Rex doing?
At the end of the day, it's his spiel.
I want an update on Recruiter Rex. What's going on?
We're getting the word out. It's starting to pick up more momentum now that Bounty Jobs is basically bouncing down the road somewhere.
Yeah, have you heard anything on that?
They're gone. They're done. They basically are just retaining whatever business they have right now until I
really?
Go away. And,
wow.
So Bounty Jobs is done?
They're just, yeah.
They're sucking air?
That's about it.
They spent a lot of people's money.
Yes, they did.
Well, I'd like to do that.
Whose money did they
spend?
Just investment capital.
How much?
Know, venture funding.
Yeah. Like $32 million or something like
tens
that?
Tens of millions, yeah.
Wow.
You
know, and
that's a house in Spain, you know?
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. You know,
who's money?
Maybe
who's
it,
money?
Maybe it could have done better. I mean, the idea is probably okay, but their PR and general feedback, like people would start asking questions about them on, you know, on blogs or on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
And they would never even respond.
Well,
several,
there was a big deal
on
recruiting blogs. There was a big thing about them, and they
yeah, somebody said that they didn't get paid, and they would never even get on there and address it. I thought,
you know, one of the big mistakes that they, I think that they made was the fact that, you know, while they went out and they basically opened it up to recruiters, independent such as yourself, they also when the business started not to go the way they wanted, they went out to companies and basically said, well, bring over your preferred vendor list also. And we'll only take a 3% cut of that. So what they were doing was taking a 3% cut of whatever a company was doing. So the company was saving on doing all the paperwork and everything. So the companies did it, and really the independents like yourself that were getting in to present candidates and stuff never had a chance because these companies were still dealing with the recruiters from their preferred vendor list.
Man, your phone sounds pretty bad, Paul.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
what kind of phone is it, Paul? What kind of phone is that?
AT&T, there you go.
AT&T? Is it a landline?
No,
landline.
It's one of those flippy hamburger phones.
That can't be a landline.
What is it? Is it a landline or over the internet?
No, it's a landline.
Is it really?
Has it got a cord on it?
Do you have
a
microwave going?
No.
Does it have buttons that say 1, 2, 3?
Do you have a pacemaker?
Do I have what?
Are you in New York? Are you in Times Square picking up your white van?
I don't live in Columbus. I don't have a white van.
Run. Run.
They're
on to you.
Hey, I want to know who said I sound like a used car salesman. Who was that before?
Not me.
Name your name.
It's Rayanne.
Rayanne, all right. I'm writing you down, girl.
I just, what?
I said I'm writing it down.
On.
I got you on the list.
He's got his files.
I don't want a car. Don't send
mind
me.
Like
I don't want
a
car.
Okay. You just made it to the top.
Okay, guys, it looks like we've come to the end of another fantastic after show.
It's the end of the year, too.
There you go.
Wow.
I'm actually still working today. I didn't think I would be, but.
Me, too.
Well, I hope everyone has a good New Year's, and I'll see you next year.
Aren't we supposed to
see your
runs? All the acquaintance be forgot?
Oh, yeah, let's sing that. That would be a good one.
Only tomorrow night. It's not tomorrow night yet.
All right.
Anybody
don't
going to any big parties or anything?
I'm not. I'm staying off the roads, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to a big party.
Ooh.
I'm listening to happy hour.
What are you wearing?
I have what am I wearing?
I didn't ask that.
Really
right
hot
now?
Green dress.
A really
I
what?
I'm not wearing anything right now, but to the party I'm wearing.
Family show, family
what are you wearing
show.
Tomorrow night? The girls want to know.
It's a beautiful Calvin Klein dark green dress.
Cool.
Formal and brand new. Haven't worn it yet.
Is it flowing?
It's flowing. And it's,
is it long?
It crisscrosses in the back. And
sweet.
It's gorgeous.
Take a picture for us.
Okay, I will.
Put it up for us.
This is just getting weird.
Hey, where's Andy Gregory?
Where's Andy Gregory?
Andy.
He's not here.
That's a good question.
He's probably
Maybe
making plays.
Is he snowed in?
No, we didn't get a bunch of snow.
Oh, okay.
We've got maybe 3 inches of snow on the ground. Enough
we
to
don't
pull
have
the,
any.
Enough to pull the kids in the sled behind the tractor, which
oh,
I wrecked yesterday at high speed.
Yeah.
Did yes. you
have Jack and Coke in your hand or something? You're driving the tractor.
No, I was cruising along pulling the kids, and all of a sudden the tire started spinning,
and it
tipped over on two wheels, and I thought it was going to come over on me, so I bailed off because it was like at a 45-degree angle, and it dropped back down on all four tires, and it kept on going.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and so I had to run and jump back on it, and I had all these.
No. Were there kids being pulled behind it?
No, they bailed out once they saw it was an emergency. That's one of the rules. And so I luckily
smart kids
started going
oh
in
God.
A circle, or else it would have ran straight into my house. But I finally got on there and I got it stopped, and all the kids, there were six boys over here. They said that was so
cool.
Let's do it again.
Jerry.
I had to tell them all to not tell their parents what.
Yeah,
happened.
Right. Jerry, the sooner we shut this thing down, the sooner you know who gets on the phone.
Oh, my God. Man. Even on your birthday, you're being like the.
Love it.
What?
Okay. You get it?
Whose birthday is it?
It's Maureen's and
it's Maureen and Carl's birthday.
Carl Chapman's birthday.
Carl Chapman's birthday.
Oh, really?
Birthday
wow, well, happy birthday.
She's
thank
even
you.
Cracking the whip on animals today.
Wow.
Open a can of whoop-ass.
There you go.
Is Animal still on the line?
He better not be.
No.
He better be
Animal
you know where.
Back behind
he's
the
just
curtain.
Muted, like, so that you can't, you know.
He's running the controls, he said. That was his excuse for not doing what
he
was supposed
to, watch,
to be doing.
He has to watch the switchboard. I don't know why he didn't watch it on the show. He was cutting everybody off.
I have a question. Who runs the after show, like, after everybody hangs up? Last week, somebody was stood on the phone for another minute just chomping on chips through their headset or something. If you go back to last week, I was sitting there
it
at Spain. I said, you know what?
Jerry.
I think it might
have
been.
No, if I'm eating chips, I'll put it on mute. But if I've hung up, then I'll eat chips.
Everybody thought they had hung
maybe
up.
It was
and,
Animal.
And I don't know. And I sat there, and like for another minute and a half, someone was like, chomp, 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 chomp.
Could you tell what kind of chips they were?
They were that.
Did they have
like,
ridges in them?
It's like flavored air. They were like Cheetos.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
I
flavored air.
So.
Yeah, let me see. I did have a box of Cheez-Its.
Yeah, it was you.
Don't.
Yeah, it was you.
Actually, it's the party mix, the baked snack assortment.
That's not flavored air, though. That definitely has a specific crunch that you can
mm-hmm.
tell over the
absolutely.
Phone. That's not just like those
let me see if I can try some. See if you recognize this.
That's you.
Not like that.
You're the chewer. That's you.
We've hit
putting
a new low.
I'm putting you on the
was
list,
that it?
Too.
Yeah,
yep.
I think so. We've hit a new low.
Oh, my
putting
God.
You on the list.
We've hit a new low.
All right, well, I'll end the year on that, everybody.
Okay.
Well, no, you've got to end
it. Go on, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Happy
adios.
New
Year. New
Year.
Happy New Year.
See you all next year.
Okie doke.
Happy New
Bye.
Year.
Bye.
Bye.
Jerry.